Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just praise You and thank You. We worship You. Holy Spirit, You are so welcome in this place. Your will be done today on these broadcasts on earth as it is in heaven. And we give You praise and thanksgiving for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Open your Bibles with me today. Oh, don't forget to download the free study notes, okay? Go to kcm.org/notes. You need to do that. They're free, and you can just use them to teach your Sunday school class with. Hey, preacher, help yourself. Well, I don't want to steal anything. Well, are you kidding? I stole it from Brother Hagin. He stole it from Jesus. I mean, come on, man. No, we didn't steal anything. He gave us the whole thing. Praise God. Here, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to say something about that. That's been something that the devil has used to stop and inject pride in a preacher, and the preacher don't know it's pride. Well, that's Brother Copeland's message. I wouldn't. It ain't my message. Look. If it was my message, the moment I preached it, I gave it to you. And here's the bottom line of it. When you take, well, just like right now, I'm going to begin today on Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. I mean, that's I learned that from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. Well, when I first began to minister it, I first began to teach it and preach it. I didn't know anything except what I'd heard him teach. But when I began to teach it, the Spirit of God came up in me, and I would go into directions and things. I learned things that I didn't learn from Brother Hagin. You understand what I'm saying to you? So don't let the devil steal and rob you out of that. I mean, if he'll help you, and he'd stand up there like I did and say, I want you to know I learned this from Brother Copeland. Now, don't you be quoting me. You said, now, Brother Copeland said, no, nah, don't start that. You say the Word of God says in Mark 11, 22 and 23, Jesus said, all right, amen. Now then, let's begin there in Mark chapter 11. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. But then you come over to the cross reference and it says, have the faith of God. Now, and let me touch on that for a moment, because we are born again by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That word, which we were born again, when that came into our hearts, faith came, but it's God's faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, let's stop right there, whosoever, that means me, that means you. I'm a whosoever. Glory to God. I just want to let that soak in on you a little bit now. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith or says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, let's take some close look at this. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Let's touch on that a moment. He's not talking about our natural blood pump. No, no. No, you couldn't believe, you couldn't believe God with your physical heart any more than you could with your liver. How would that sound? Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his liver. Or no, you can see where that's erroneous. So what is he talking about? The spirit of man. You are a spirit being like God. You're in his very likeness. You and Jesus have exactly the same spiritual DNA. Both, that's another teaching. But let's think about this very carefully now. You are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Picture it like this. If I could separate from my body and step out of my body, you would recognize me if you could see my body. Well, Brother Copeland, you think we're going to know one another when we get to heaven? If you know me here, you know me there. If you don't know me here, we got to get acquainted. You're not gonna turn into an angel no more than you'd turn into a toad frog, brother, sister. Come on now. No, you're you. Always will be you. But hey, there's a whole lot better looking me and you that's coming down the road. Hallelujah. Because this inner man, once this inner man gets fed on the Word and starts getting strong, praise God, and beginning to be edified, praying in the Spirit and so forth, whoa, and you begin to walk in the Spirit. Now, I wanted to point this out. Here you could see both my spirit and my body. The soul, mind, will, and emotions is inside my spirit, not just part of my body. My brain is part of my body. You want me to? Yeah, okay. You understand I just work here? listen to this now. You remember the rich man that died and went to hell, and Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man in hell looked up and saw Father Abraham, and Jesus told this story. But listen to what Father Abraham said. Now, the man's brain is in the ground up there. It's decaying away in the ground, topside. His spirit, see, the body's not the he. Amen. Now, he looks up and sees Father Abraham, and Abraham said, "Son, remember." Isn't that good? See, his memory was still intact. His brain wasn't there, but your memory is in your spirit. Your brain is what your spirit uses to, and your spirit and your soul use your brain to contact this natural physical world. Okay. Now, this faith, this kind of faith, the faith of God, is of the heart, not the head. So the heart, the spirit man, amen, that's where faith functions. It's born there, and that's where it comes from. Now, therefore, well, let me go, yeah, thank you, Lord. Let me back up here again. What are we supposed to believe? Well, I believe Jesus is Lord. Yeah, that's wonderful, but that won't work here. Well, you know, I believe he's raised from the dead. I do too. That's what got you and me born again. Glory to God. But that won't work here. Now notice what he said. Whosoever say on this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith or says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. That's where the faith is released, and that's the control factor right there, is believing in your heart. My faith is in my spirit. It's a spiritual force. Believing what the Word of God says, put into my spirit and believe it, and then say it with my mouth, it'll come to pass. Now, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Faith will not work when you have an air or a presence of unforgiveness about you. Unforgiveness is a strong spiritual force, and it creates fear because it activates Satan, who is the spirit of fear. Now then, let's take a look here in the book of Romans, chapter 12. And let's look in the third verse. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Who was this? Who was the book of Romans written to? Okay, let's just see. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before his prophets in Holy Scriptures. And he says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace unto you. That is, if it is for everybody in Rome, it's for everybody in Fort Worth. It's for everybody wherever you live. Amen. So now notice what he said here. Now he's talking to born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, healing, believing Christians in Rome. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. Because the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and he said, all men don't have faith. He said, wicked and unreasonable men do not have faith. So you've got unsaved people, and they may be good and wonderful people, not wicked and unreasonable men, but never accepted Jesus as their Savior, never been born again. They don't have the faith of God in them. They have natural human faith. Everybody has natural human faith. You have to have. I mean, you wouldn't know what chair to sit down on. You think that thing will hold me up? Oh, I don't know whether I want to sit down or not. No. You got to come to a point where you believe something. But that's natural human faith. We're talking about the faith of God that changes things, the faith of God that removes mountains, the faith of God that heals the sick, the faith of God. Hey, you understand? I know you do. Now then, this faith, as I said, is of the heart and not the head. It is not a mind force. It is a spirit force. I remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul used this phrase, that God make you whole, your whole spirit, soul, and body. A lot of people, if you were to ask them, what is the difference between the spirit and soul? There was a time I thought they were the same thing. Did you know most people think they're the same? But they're not. Now, also remember what the Word of God said in the book of Hebrews, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Huh? So they can't be the same thing. So let's go back over that again. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is part of your spirit man. So it's, say it with me, spirit, soul, and body. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. Say this, this physical body is my earth suit. Now, you know, when astronauts go into space, they have to have a space suit. Why? Because there's no environment out there and you can't live out there. Without this physical body, you can't live in the earth. The moment your physical body dies, listen to me now, the moment your physical body dies, your spirit's going somewhere. It's going up or down, your choice. Did you know God's never sent anybody to hell? He created hell for the devil and his angels. He has never sent anybody to hell. He never, ever made that choice. He gave Jesus. He made a way. The only sin today that'll send you to hell is by not believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That's another teaching. I wish I had time to get off into that, but I don't right now. Maybe later. Now notice, he said, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Two things here. One, every child of God, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we each one of us received the exact same measure of the faith of Jesus, the faith of God, the very same measure. Now, it's up to you and me whether that measure grows or gets weak. It can become strong. Faith, now, is a spiritual force. Always remember that. It's not of the mind. It's not of the body. It is of the Spirit dealt unto you at the time you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't go and come. In other words, it doesn't leave you and have to come back. It doesn't come by praying for it. It's not dealt by prayer. Well, then how'd we get it? Well, just back up two pages here. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that dealt that measure to you to begin with. Praise God. Now, let's go over here to the book of Ephesians a moment, because I want to touch on this a moment here. In the second chapter of Ephesians, and let's look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there was a new creation happened here, 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Any man that's in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things become new and all things are of God. Now take that then and back right up here in verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. This faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. When did He give it to you? When you accepted Jesus. It's all part of the package. That's when you were born again. Amen. That's when that faith came in there, praise God. Isn't this wonderful? So, He has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Now, how does faith grow? Think about that a minute. How does it, what causes faith to grow? Let's turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now remember, in Mark chapter 4, let's look at Mark chapter 11 again, because we have to keep this, just right up here in front of us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus answering said unto them, have the faith of God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe what? Believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Mark chapter 4. How does it grow? All right. Jesus said in Mark 4, verse 30. Now we're talking about faith. How do you make faith grow? How do spiritual things grow? Faith is a spiritual force. Now remember, faith is of the spirit. It is of the heart, not the head. It's not part of the mind. It is part of your born again spirit. Okay, now, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Did you get that? Cast seed into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. You don't know how. You don't have to know how. You just have to obey and it'll do what Jesus said it would do. For the earth, or your spirit, brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Now listen. It is the whole kingdom of God. Everything in the spirit realm. Well, it's really true of the whole creation, because God created everything out of a seed. So, but I want you to see about your faith, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. They all grow this way. Now listen. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. That's the way spiritual things grow. If you need your faith to grow, sow it, use it. Go to the Word. Find promises that cover your situation. Believe those promises. You just look at it and talk about it. Amen. I believe this. And in your head, say, I don't know whether I believe it or not. No, quit paying any attention to your head and look at your heart. Go down in your spirit and say, no, Jesus said this, and I believe this. The Bible said this, and I believe this. The Word of God says this. I believe that. I believe that. I confess this with my mouth. What's happening? Okay, I'll show you what's happening. Go back over to the book of Romans again. Praise God. Amen. See, that's the reason you need your outlines. Amen. You go back over to the book of Romans in that 10th chapter where we read the 17th verse, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But now, let's back up and prove what we just said in verse 9. Well, let's back up here a little bit. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Oh, Jesus, if you could just come lay your hand on my fevered brow. Well, he's not coming, okay. Why? Because he's already there. I knew you'd like that. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. He's already been raised from the dead. What does faith say? Faith says, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that's what I'm teaching and preaching right now to you. That, now here it is. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now let me just drop something in right here. That same word translated saves also translated healed. For with the heart, the spirit man, not the blood pump, I already mentioned this to you. I'm going to tell you again now. You can't believe God with your blood pump no more than you can your liver. Oh, man, believeth unto with the mouth, the heart, huh? Oh, excuse me, I missed that. With the kidney, man, no. With the liver, no. With the nose, no. With your spirit, the heart of man. See, that's the reason it calls the spirit the heart, because that's the core. That's the most important part of spirit, soul, and body. We use that in different ways. We talk about the heart of a tree because it's the center. It's the place where the life of the tree is. And we use it a lot, the heart of the matter. That means it's the most important part of what we're talking about, see. Amen. The heart of the matter we're talking about today is that faith is of the heart and not the mind. That's the heart of this situation. Now then, I believe you got that. Okay. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now you come on back down to 17. So then faith cometh. There's no such thing as faith that won't come. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, it comes by hearing the Word of God, not some imaginary doctrine or something that somebody's got about it. It is the Word of faith. Amen. Now, I wanted you to see this, that everything in the kingdom of God starts with a seed of the Word. And then you take that seed and you plant it. Okay. Now, go back over here again to the book of Ephesians. We need to just keep putting our eyes on these things over and over and over again and build them into your spirit. Change the way you think. Change the way the common world doesn't know anything about faith. They may know a lot of religion. But that don't work. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For, now here it is, now get it. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's His faith, and through Jesus being crucified, He went to hell, He died spiritually. Oh, Brother Coleman, wait a minute, back up. Stop. Back up. Even when we were dead in sins, that's spiritual death. Well, Jesus never sinned. No, but He took your and my sin. See, what is spiritual death? Spiritual death is to be separated from God. He is the source of all life. The God kind of life. The God faith. The God love. The fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Whoa! Glory to God. Amen. When I do that, it means I preach myself happy right then. Now, what goes on there is, excuse me, well, 1 Timothy, or 1 Peter 2:24, Himself bore, now listen to me, Himself bore our sins in His own body, on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ooh, that's some gospel news right there. Glory to God, that's good news. You was healed 2,000 years ago. You might just now be finding out about it. Take it. It belongs to you. Glory to God. It belongs to you. Faith is your title deed to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now then, stay up with me now, because I'm like Creflo Dollar. I'm working on something here. Glory to God. Now, well, yeah, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Let's go back to the book of Romans again, and let's look in the 4th chapter of Romans. We're saved by grace. The grace did it. Faith received it. Let me say it again. Grace did it. The power of His grace did it. Faith made the connection. Now, 4th chapter of Romans, 16th verse. Therefore it is of faith. Now I want you to notice the faith word here is first. Therefore it is of faith so that it might be by grace. Ha ha ha. No faith, no grace. What is grace? Grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat you and me like sin never existed. Hallelujah. It is His unmerited favor. It was a gift of God. His faith is a gift. His grace is a gift. His healing is a gift. Hallelujah. Jesus, the great gift. God, the Father, the great gift giver. Glory to God. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Now then, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Hallelujah. Amen. The promise might be sure. I'm telling you, we were talking there a minute ago. Let me remind you of this. We were talking about, let me help me, Lord. Help me. What if there was a knock on your door and you went and opened the door and there stood an angel? I have a message from the Most High God. You say, okay. The Most High God sent me to tell you by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Psst, and he's gone.
Whoa.
Oh, what if you opened the door and there stood Jesus? I just came by this morning to tell you that by my stripes you were healed. Boy, every hair on your body be sticking straight out. I mean, even if you're bald-headed, brother, your hair, where your hair used to be trying to jump up and down. You say, oh, brother, what would you do? What would you do if that happened? My, what would I do, Brother Coleman? What's the matter with you? What would I do? Dear God, I'd probably just go absolutely wild. I'd be shouting and dancing all over this house. What are you shouting and dancing for? My God, I'm healed. Look at here. He told me by his stripes I'm healed. Woo! Glory be to God. This will bring more faith than that. Oh, I don't believe that. Figured you'd probably say that. So let's go over to the Gospel of John. You getting anything out of this? I am. I'm going to keep doing it whether you are or not. It's helping me. Let's go over to the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. And you remember Thomas. Oh, yeah, doubting Thomas. Don't call the man that. I mean, he just doubted for about an hour. Hey, you're not doubting Thomas. He's believing Thomas. I don't think I'd talk that way about the apostles of the Lamb. I mean, you know, you can do what you want to do. Anyway, that's what you're going to do anyhow. 20th chapter of John's Gospel. And after 8 days, this is 26th verse, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger." Let's back up that 24th and their 25th verses. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger or feel of it, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will." Now, I want you to get that now. I will. Huh? I will not believe. Now, that is a decision. But see, anyway, let's get on here. Now, after 8 days again, the disciples were then, Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Now listen. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and behold my hands." In other words, touch me. "Reach here your hand, thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." Now listen. Well, Brother Copeland, if Jesus come walking up to me and just told me that, you got to be wrong, brother. That'd cause more faith. And no, that would cause mental assent, not faith. Huh? Okay. You still love me, don't you? Okay. I knew you did. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed the blessing of the Lord are they that have not seen and yet believed. When you make a decision, he made a decision. Now, listen to me now. He made the decision to not believe. He made the conscious decision to not believe because he couldn't see it and he couldn't feel it. Jesus said, if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, the Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, not by touching, not by seeing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you remember the faith that Jesus marveled at? What is it? I'll tell you. He said, you remember the centurion had a sick servant? And he said to Jesus, I'm unworthy that you come into my house. I'm a man of authority. I tell a man to go. I tell a man to come. They go. They come. And they, in other words, they obey me. You speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. In other words, I recognize where your power is. I recognize that it is in authority over sickness, over disease, over devils, over death. Hallelujah. And he said, you say the word, my servant will be healed. Oh, what is that? That is faith that needs no evidence other than the written Word of God. Now, that's the most powerful faith there is. And, I mean, you can receive your healing just by spending more time in the Word of God. I'm telling you, what Jesus just said it over there. Let's go back over there to Mark 11 again. He said it, and this is the key to it. I say unto you, whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, not doubting his heart, and believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Faith is of the spirit, the core, the heart, not the head. The head wants to see something. Like Thomas, the head his head wanted to see something. I mean, he made a conscious decision. I'm going to say it again. He made a conscious decision to not believe it. Jesus said, Thomas, you're faithless. Blessed are those who have believed and not seen. Now, see, that's what the centurion did when he said to Jesus, speak the word only, my servant will be healed. He didn't require any physical evidence. Oh, Brother Copeland, how am I going to do this? Faith cometh, say it, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you ever catch yourself doing this, I come up and I announce, well, we're going to talk about faith today. Oh, man, I've already heard that. No, you haven't heard it. Faith doesn't come by hearing once. No more than physical health comes by eating one meal a week. No, man, you're going to die. F.F. Bosworth said, Oh, some of you said you wonder how come your faith doesn't work any better than it does. He says you feed your body three hot meals a day, and you feed your spirit one cold snack a week. But pretty well says it, doesn't it? Yeah. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, natural food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. So get into this. Thank you, Lord. I'm coming before you today. I'm in your word. I'm listening to CDs. I'm watching the DVDs today. But I'm feeding my spirit. I'm taking faith food. I'm receiving faith food. I'm renewing my mind, but I'm feeding my spirit. And my faith is coming. Talk to your faith. See, you believe in your heart, you say in your mouth. I believe my faith is growing. I say it. Come on, faith. I'm speaking to you like I speak to the mountain. Come on, grow up. Come on, get strong. Come on, strength. Well, how do I get strength? Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Huh? That's what Nehemiah said. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If it's going to take joy, I ain't never going to make it. You got born again. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Well, let's go over there and look at him. I don't trust you. I tell you to go look at you. You might not do it. Glory to God. Let's go over there and take a look at this. Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit. Let's back up here a minute. You notice the word Spirit here is capitalized. Now, in the Greek text, there are no capital letters. And there are no punctuation marks, not like English marks. So the translators just had to do the best they could with it. But if you'll study this a minute, it's very clear. Back up here, the 16th verse, where the word says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not talking about walking in the Holy Spirit. It's talking about spirit, soul, and body. It's talking about walking in your born-again spirit man. And we can look at it. We can prove it right here. Now listen to me carefully. For the flesh lusteth, or puts pressure, against the Spirit. Your flesh don't put pressure against the Holy Spirit. Your flesh puts pressure on your born-again spirit. Amen. And your born-again spirit puts pressure against the flesh. It's trying to get you to stop doing that and quit walking by sight and start walking by faith. Amen? So now notice this. Let's go back over there again. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, that's God. Well, yeah, all of these things, all of these nine fruits here, they're all God. Amen. When you were recreated in Christ Jesus, all of these were deposited in you because the Spirit of God came inside and lived inside you. All of these are in your spirit. They're available to you. They were put there the moment you got born again. This is different from the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So by faith, I need to develop the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, endurance, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, someone that can be depended on, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It's not being weak. Being meek is humility. Humility is not self-debasement. Humility is when you bow your knee before God. See, joy of the Lord makes me strong. Well, how can the meekness make me weak? Now that, you know, that just borderline stupid right there. But Forgive me. Anyway, you forgive me too, Lord. Amen. Because I've been just as stupid as that myself, or worse. But meekness, true humility, Bible humility, is to humble yourself to God and His Word. Put His Word first place, not what you and I think about it, but what it says. Be New Testament taught instead of religiously brainwashed. Just believe anything that comes passing by. No, hey, this is as much a manifestation of God in the earth as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen? Now, thank you, Lord. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Developing or growing. It's diet and exercise. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Being a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. Well, faith cometh by hearing. Oh, yeah. And we need to hear. And there are people that you know, listen to two or three, four CDs a week, maybe two or three of them a day. They're in every meeting they can get in. They come to the believers' conventions. They go to Brother Moore's. They go, you know, they go every time Creflo has a meeting, many go to that one. And every time Jerry Savelle has a meeting, they go to that one. Glory to God. Yes, amen. Oh, I'm there, brother. You're enjoying good health, aren't you? Nah. I just don't know. How come God don't heal me? You hadn't acted on the Word. You're just a big, fat, spiritually believer. But you're fat on faith, but unless you put it into action, it hadn't been released. Well, brother, I just don't understand this. I just got all kinds of faith. Well, release it. It must get out of your spirit, into your mouth, and out your mouth, and hold on to the Word of the living God. If you're having trouble in that area, if you're not developing properly, walk right up to that mirror in the morning. Listen to me now. I mean this. I do it. I do it every day. I look myself right in the mirror. And I look right in my eyes. And I say, I believe this. But more than believing this, I know this is true. Surely. He hath borne my griefs, carried my sorrows, weaknesses, diseases, sicknesses, and pains. We did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Jesus cast out the spirits with his word, fulfilling that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I know this. I don't just believe this. I know this. I know it's so. I know it, glory to God. Whether I feel like it or not, I believe it. Whether I see it or not, I believe it because I know it. I believe every word of it. that we being dead to sin. Now, listen to me carefully, because I'm going to add a little something to this. That we being dead to sin, sickness, and disease, that we live under righteousness, delivered from the curse, and set free, by whose stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed now. And Mark 11:23, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I do not doubt in my heart. Sin, sickness, disease, get out of me. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. I take it. It's mine. I believe I receive it. It's mine. Then don't change that all day long. I don't care. Oh, thank God. I don't believe this. I believe that. I don't believe that what that bank account says. I believe that. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he adds no sorrow with it. All of my needs are supplied by his riches in glory. I have a full supply. Thank you very much. And then just start praising God, worshiping. Put your eyes on those verses. Look them up. If you don't know where they are, I'm not going to do all your homework for you. Get you a good concordance. Dig in there. I mean, get one online. You make sure you don't get off on some other wild tangent by doing that. Amen. Get a good Strong's Concordance. Get a Young's Concordance. Get something that you can trust and depend on. And look all, I don't know how to do that. Well, learn how. Amen. Dig in, sister. Dig in, brother. Hallelujah. Because you're on it. You got to feed on these things. Well, I just don't have time. Well, you got time enough to sit there and watch that television half of the day. Cut that stuff out. I walked into some. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, help me. Somebody asked me to come down there, pray for so-and-so in the hospital, and I did. I went down there. And you know, these good people, they're born-again people, laying up there sick in the hospital with the TV on, watching General Hospital. One of those, I don't know what's on there now because I don't watch that stuff, but it was back there then, it was the big cereal every day. General Hospital, all these sick people. They're laying there thinking, oh yeah, look at that. Yeah, that's me. Forgive me. A thought unspoken dies unborn. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Speak to the fruit of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Listening to your spirit man. And practice, and practice, and practice. Lord, I'm listening for you today. I need to know. I need to know what to do about this. Sit down and pray in the Spirit. I believe I receive your direction. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are called the sons of God. And that's that voice right in here. But you're going to have to shut up and be quiet long enough to hear it. It'll grow. It'll become stronger. Now, look with me. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Help me, Lord. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Ephesians. That we have, 14th verse, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. Growing up into him. Growing up into him. When you come, don't be gossiping and talking. I mean, being tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Amen. Forgiven you. Develop the love, developing the fruit of the Spirit. And you, no. Put it back down. Put it back down. Temperance, which means self-control. Oh, Brother Copeland, how am I going to do that? Yield to the Spirit of God. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me here. I'm growing. The fruit is growing. I got to speak in love. I will speak in love. I believe God. I believe what the Word says. You can't, if you don't put it in your eyes, your ears, in your heart, come out your mouth. Hallelujah. It's medicine to all your flesh. But faith cometh. Faith cometh. Well, I don't feel anything. Forget the feelings, all right? Just forget them. Well, you don't know how bad I feel. Well, I felt just as bad as you. And maybe not. There's some really bad things that I've never experienced. But, hey, His name is Jesus. And He loves you. And He cares for you. I don't care what ugly, nasty thing you've done. He's already been to hell with it. He's already forgiven you. Now, what you need to do is confess that sin and receive His forgiveness. Now, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, don't go back trying to confess all those sins. Confess Him as Lord. And then just wipe the slate clean. Amen. Now, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're back to that. Oh, Lord, Brother Copeland. Oh, no, wait a minute. No. I want you to listen to me now. Medical science has proven that a put-on laugh has the same effect on the brain and the body as a real, sure enough, good old belly laugh where you just get tickled, your side hurts, you know. Now, I say, well, Brother Copeland, how could that be? Well, I'm about to tell you. Do it by faith. The Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength, and joy is living in you and developing the fruit of the Spirit. Ha, ha, ha. Now, I did that by faith. There ain't a thing in the world, there's not a thing in this room that's funny, unless maybe it's Tim. He's holding the cards up there for him. No, I'm just picking on him. Well, yeah, that worked, didn't it? Hey, you got tickled too, didn't you? Well, hey, pick it up. Ha, 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 Satan. Ha, ha. What are you laughing at me about? Because you're a liar and the father of it, and you told me I'm sick and I'm not. Jesus told me I'm healed and I am. Ha, 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 ha. And don't quit. Ha, 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 ha. It'll eventually come up in there. The joy of the Lord will come. It's in there. It prime the pump. Get it on up in there. And nothing happens without faith. And that thought flashes across your mind of what old Sister Bucket Mouth said about you. Well, oh, no. Ha, 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 ha. I've forgiven her. Ha, ha, ha. I love that girl. Oh, and then really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you, you can laugh yourself well. People have done it that are not even born again. The Scripture says a merry heart, not a merry pump, a merry spirit, does good like a medicine. And there are people that have, one man I'm thinking about now that just went out and bought all kinds of old slapstick comedy movies. I mean old stuff, brother. Some of it's silent. Now, you wouldn't think, after all of these super movies we got and everything, if you've never taken the time to get into some of those old slapstick comedy silent movies, those guys had to be good because you couldn't hear nothing that they were saying. But funny Buster Keaton, I'm telling you, You can't watch that very long without cracking up. I don't care how... I started to say, I don't care how bad your body's hurting you, but when you're laughing, it releases endorphins, which is stronger than morphine. That'll give you something to laugh about. And he had... This man that wrote this article had cancer, was dying. And he went out and he got Laurel and Hardy movies. He got, all them old slapstick comedians back there. Comedy now ain't even funny. But back there then, man, I mean, it's just gut-wrenching funny. And he laid there and watched that and just ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Prime the pump by faith. I'm laughing by faith. I'm laughing at you, devil, by faith. I'm laughing at the pain. I'm laughing at this flu. I'm laughing at you. Ha, 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 ha. You thought you could put the flu on me. You can't, because Jesus is living in me. I'm going to give part of Creflo Dollar's testimony. Tried to put cancer on Creflo. He said, you can't do that, Satan. I got a man living on the inside of me. His next doctor appointment went in there, and they looked at the screen, and Creflo looked at his son. They both looked at the doctor, and Creflo said, are you guys seeing this? I said, yeah. There was a picture of Jesus right on that screen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one, say it, the greater one lives on the inside of me. Oh, my, 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 my. My faith is growing. The fruit of the Spirit is growing. Love, joy, peace. Goodness, our gentleness, goodness. Hallelujah. Faith, kindness, meekness, temperance. Hokashtete, rokoite ona ansesakatete, te gratisto. Ure pukamanani delete delete alkitakte lakpokotakastek. Listen to my word, saith the Spirit of grace. I have great desire to manifest my presence around you. But my presence is the love of God. My presence is the grace of the Father. My presence is all of these things listed here in Galatians chapter 5. And when you are, when your words are stout against me, then I can't manifest myself like I desire. I said in my word, he that loves me keeps my commandments, or you do what my word says for you to do. I will love him, my Father will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. These are the times of my mercy and my grace. These are the days that I have chosen to pour out myself upon all flesh like never before and in the history of this planet. So listen carefully to my voice. Listen carefully to those things that you're being taught, because this is spirit and this is truth. And they that hear and worship me in spirit and in truth will surely know my voice, will surely become strong in faith, and you can become as much like me as I am like my Father, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand that I love you, I love you, I love you, and I will never, ever let you go. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's praise Him for a moment. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We give praise and worship to you. Help us, Lord. We receive your help. Say, the greater one, the Spirit of the living God, who is greater than he that's in the world, is in me right now, working with my spirit, working on and in my mind, healing my body. And I have the joy of the Lord because I have the love of God. And I receive these words and teachings because I have faith in my heart and I believe it in my heart and I say it with my mouth and I thank you that it does come to pass. I just give him praise and oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm not through praising. Just help me praise God. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. My. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, glory. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's refresh ourselves again. Let's go over to Mark 11. Faith is of the heart, not the head. Say it with me. Faith is of the heart, not the head. Say it again. Faith is of the heart and not the head or the mind. Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now whosoever, anybody can do this. Any born-again believer can do this, and this is the way you get born again. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. I want you to notice something here, and I learned this from Brother Hagin many years ago. I'm going to use say on this side, and I'm going to use believe on this side. Are you with me now? Verily I say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Let's back up a little bit. I messed this thing up. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He used the word believe once, and saying it three times. Now, what does that tell us? This tells us that we have been taught over the years as people and believers, we've been taught to believe, but very, very, very small amount compared to the overall. There's more now than there's ever been, but it's still small compared to the whole body of Christ. The importance of words connected with believing. Because you believe it in your heart, but you hadn't released it when you believe it in your heart until you say it with your mouth. Therefore, I say, now see, Jesus turned right around and used it. He did the very same thing that you're talking about. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now, let's talk about that aspect of it here for a moment. Faith will not work if you have an air of unforgiveness about you. Now, notice he said that right there. When you stand praying, forgive. Well, Brother Copeland, I've been a long time trying to do that. No, he didn't say try to do it. And it don't take long. He said, when you stand praying, you can't stand there 2 weeks. While you're praying, I mean, do it right now. You don't know what they did. It don't matter what they did. You've got a commander in chief. His name is Jesus. It don't make any difference what you think about it. You have an order from command. You have an order from heaven to do it. Whether you like it or not, sir, yes, sir, they're forgiven. Amen. Come on, faith, work. And then, you know, you go to church Sunday, and there she comes, right there, just bigger than all get out. There she is. I thought I forgave her. That forgiveness was an act of your will. Not your feelings. Don't let the devil throw you with that. Say, no, 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 no. Say, nope, 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 nope. I chose to forgive, and I did that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, shut up, feeling. Those are physical and mental feelings and emotions that you took some time to develop. And you're going to have to take authority over them and put them down, put them where they belong. And faith does that, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Amen. So, do it. That's what you're called to do. Do it. And Jesus will back you. The Holy Spirit will come up in there. You just keep on. Well, I'm looking to feel something. Quit that feeling. Cut the feelings out. Feelings have nothing to do with any of this. Remember what I said that Jesus told Thomas? He said, you know, feel of my hands, feel of my side. My Lord, my God. Jesus said, you believe because you could feel it. And he said, Thomas, quit being faithless. He said, blessed are those who have believed and not seen. It's when you believe these things because Jesus said them. You believe this thing because the Word said them. You're like the centurion that said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Remember when we talked about that? You don't have to come to my house. No, 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 I'm a man under authority. I tell a man to go and he goes. I tell one to come and he comes. All you have to do is speak the Word. My servant will be healed. Jesus didn't even go to the man's house. He said, you don't have to come under my roof. I'm unworthy for you to come to my house anyway. See, he was a Gentile. And he said, you just say it. Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. That is faith in God's written word. The integrity of this word is just as real as if Jesus stood right there in front of you and said, by my stripes you were healed, and it will bring more faith than that. The Apostle Peter said, we saw and heard, but there is a higher, more powerful word. And talking about Scripture. Then seeing that on the mountain of transfiguration, oh yeah, oh yeah. Your feelings and your mental part gets in the way. Oh, I believe it now because I saw it. Your heart doesn't. You've mentally approved of it and said, oh yeah, I saw it. I believe it. I saw it. Well, the time gets a little bit rough. You'll fall off of that stump. You know, well, if I could just see a miracle. Really? The new birth is the most powerful miracle there is. Yeah, but I need to see an angel. If an angel, well then, hey, you keep pushing for that. The devil is a fallen angel, and the Word said he'll come to you as an angel of light and deceive you.
I have come from the Almighty God.
You can rest assured he'll talk perpendicular. Because that's the way religion talks. He don't talk straight, you know.
God. God Almighty has sent me to tell you today that it's not His will to heal you. Shiny, 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 shiny. Shoo, 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 and gone. Oh, it's not God's will to heal me. I'll just bear up. No, you're going to die. His word is His will. And by His stripes ye were healed. You can't trust the stuff you see. You can't trust the stuff that comes out of this realm. Hey, the devil is a spirit. Demons are spirits. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, they're in the spirit realm. And they'll mimic God if they can. And religious people will fall for it. Particularly people that start pushing God. I need to see something, Lord. I need to get healed of this cancer. And I just can't seem to get any faith. Well, you're looking in the wrong place. Well, what do you mean, Brother Copeland? I pray every day, oh, God, give me faith. Are you born again? Oh, yeah. Did He have to give you faith to get saved? No. When someone gave the invitation, did you go up and say, oh, God, help me, give me the faith to get this. If you don't, I'm going to hell. Of course not. Why? Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, it's right there in the Bible. It says, whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, the same Bible said, whosoever say unto that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart. Same whosoever. Amen? Are you seeing it? No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and praising, and hearing, and saying it, and thinking it, and meditating on it, and listening to it on the way to work, and listening to it on the way home, and walking in love with all your spirit, soul, and body, and walking by faith and not feelings, and you just stand up against it. I'm not moved by what I feel, and I'm not moved by what I see. Yes, I am too. Well, just confess the thing. Jesus, help me. Help me with this. I'm determined not to be moved. I mean, He'll come right up in there. Spirit of God will come right up in there with you. And he'll say, okay, little sister, I got this. Amen. But see, you got to keep listening to it. You can't lay there and watch some stupid television series while you're in the hospital. Quit that. No, don't do that. You get the Word of God. You get somebody to put Scripture on there. You're listening to Bible. You're listening to someone reading Scripture, feeding your spirit. Years ago, Brother Savelle and I were in a in a meeting, and a woman brought her husband was in a coma. And he was having hard seizures. Just every few minutes, every 5-6 minutes, he'd have a seizure. And through an injury of some kind, I don't remember what the bottom of it was. And Jerry was on one side of this gurney, and I was on the other, and she was standing here at the head of it. And we laid hands on him and prayed the prayer of faith over him. And he still you couldn't tell there's any difference. And I heard the Lord say this, and I turned to her, and I said, get back there. Then, you know, we didn't have cell phones and all that. But we had the Bible on tape. And I said to her, now, we're going to give you a set of New Testament tapes. And you keep those, you read to him. You read Scripture. Read healing verses to him. Read the New Testament to him. And then when you're tired and you go in the other room or something, turn the tape on so the Word's going into his ears 24 hours a day. Son, my son, attend to my Word. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Keep them before you. Don't let them depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life to those that find them, and health, or the Hebrew words, medicine, to all their flesh. And I said, you play that 24 hours a day. She said, I'll do it, Brother Copeland. Well, she left, and he's still doing that. But then, and they did this for, weeks. And the seizures quit. He's still just laying there in that coma, but he's peaceful now. One day, one of her friends that helped her read to him and so forth, and came over. And she went into the other part of the house for some reason. But she said, "Here, take up right there where I was, and read this to him." And it's just scripture, New Testament. So she sat down there and started reading. Well, Brother Copeland, they can't hear. Oh, listen, you can too. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people that were in comas, and they said, we could hear every word you were saying. I just couldn't get it out. Why? The spirit doesn't sleep. The spirit man's hearing it. It's something wrong with the motor mechanism of your brain and that kind of thing. But they can hear every word that's going on in there. Don't talk junk and death around somebody you think's in a coma and can't hear you. Speak life. Anyway, she was sitting there reading to him. All of a sudden, he sat straight up in bed and said, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And she like to fell out of her chair, man. And, you know, it startled her. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Hallelujah. But you see, it was the Word. The Word penetrated. The Word will divide asunder the soul and the spirit. And it'll begin to work inside the spirit man. And as it strengthens and strengthens and strengthens and strengthens and strengthens, it'll eventually come out of there. Amen. I'm talking to you about the absolute integrity of this written Word and the integrity of anointed teaching of this written Word, not religion, not religious ideas, but the Word of faith, faith in Jesus. He is the Word. Glory to God. Are you in here with me? Oh, glory. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody that you're right on the verge of getting your breakthrough and healing. You're right on the verge of it. You're closer than you've ever been in your life. We've talked about this God kind of faith. Every believer has a measure of it. We've talked about the measure can be increased. Faith is of the heart, not the head. And let's go back over there again, Mark 11, 22-23. Jesus answering unto them said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So, saying is equally important to the believing, because he tells us what to believe. To believe what we say comes to pass. Oh, can you get a hold of that? Get that. Just say, Lord, help me grasp that. Give me revelation of this. Words. How? Let's go over here at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Lord. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, remember this. This faith is a spiritual force. All of these things are in the realm of the Spirit, and that's where real power is. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. All of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are spiritual forces. Joy is strength. Long-suffering or patience is endurance in the Spirit. Meekness is so powerful. It's not weakness. Meekness is yielding authority to a higher command. That is true humility. Your word is true. Your word is final authority in my life in the name of Jesus, and I receive your authority. I bow my knee to your word. You're not a man that you can lie. And when you begin to praise God with that and worship God with those words, that they begin to build and grow, build and grow, and build and grow. Now, as they do, all of the fruit of the Spirit functioning at one time, that comes up in there as a major force after development, they produce true holiness. Now, holiness and righteousness are two different things. The moment you were born again, you were made, not attained. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is you're a new creature. Let's turn over. I want you to see this. Let's go over there too. I jumped out of the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, the worlds weren't made out of nothing. It was made out of faith, which can't be seen. But once faith was released, then you could see the results of it. See? You understand that now? All right. Now, hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, get this. 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Now, this means women too. Let me touch on that for a minute. Don't let that throw you. See, the Bible is, the words translated man is referring to mankind. That doesn't have any gender in it. Not talking about male. There are male men and female men, mankind. There's male tigers and there's female tigers. Okay? So there's no distinction there between male and female. If you studied the New Testament, you can find all that because it just states that. Anyway, I didn't want you to get hung up on that. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God. Now listen, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or not holding against them their trespasses, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God. He's already forgiven you. He's already reconciled it. But he can't do you praying for you. You have to receive it by faith. You can't make the connection unless you believe what he said. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Are you with me now? All right, now watch this. Now, in the King James translation, I'll read this. It's a little bit, it's a little bit scrambled up. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, let me turn that around just a little bit. For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made right with God in His eyes. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became right and righteous in the eyes of God. You're as righteous as you'll ever be. You can't grow in righteousness. Now, you can become stronger in it, but your righteousness, but now you got to do something about your flesh, and that's where holiness comes in. So, look at it again now. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, Romans chapter 5. Praise God. And let's begin looking at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Say free gift. The free gift. For if through the offense of one, or that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And the same word righteous is translated justification. They're one and the same. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Are you listening? Much more. Say it. Much more. Say it again. Much more they which receive. You have to receive it by faith. It's just hanging there over you, waiting for you to accept Jesus because it's in Him. The moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, I mean, the righteousness of God came inside your spirit. Glory to God. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign, one translation shall reign as kings, in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus took our sins in order to give us His right standing with God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Let me put it like this. Did Jesus ever commit a sin? No, not one. Did you and I ever commit a righteousness? No, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But listen. He took our sins. He never committed sin. He took my sin and your sin. I never committed anything righteous. You never committed anything righteous. And gave us His righteousness. Hallelujah. Woo! So what does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews again. And let's look at the 10th chapter. Now, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, or the sacrifice of animals and so forth, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, don't let the word perfect throw you. It's talking about the perfection of the new birth, and then it's also used in maturing, growing up into Him. But I want you to notice something now. No. Listen to me very carefully. Listen. For then, now let me read it again. Those sacrifices by animals and so forth, which offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect, or cause them to be born again, then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience or no more sin consciousness. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you can't be both. Now, this comes from the renewing of the mind. Put your hands right here if you're placed where you can. Put your hands right there. And say, Father, I want to be, and I am now, righteousness conscious. I have a righteousness consciousness that by the blood of Jesus and faith in that blood, not the blood of animals and so forth, but the blood of Jesus, my sins have been purged. I've been made the righteousness of God. Your righteousness. No longer sin conscious, identifying with Adam, but I am righteous conscious, identifying with you, Lord Jesus. My, 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 my. Oh, let that just sink in on you. A righteous consciousness. You remember when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus and he said, roll the stone away. Mary said, Lord, he stinks. In other words, she's trying to tell him. Like one fellow told me one time, I'd been ministering to his wife and I'd leave town and there were some other people ministered to her. She passed away. She'd get better and they'd come in and all that, neither here nor there. But I went to the funeral and he came up next to me and he kind of sided up next to me and he said, Brother Kenneth, she's already been embalmed. In other words, don't try to raise her from the dead. She ain't got any blood. Hey, let's get you one that ain't cooled off yet and see if what you can do with it. You understand? That doesn't have anything to do with anything. But that's where she was. Lord. See, he'd been embalmed, and as mummified the way they did it back there then. And so what is that? That is sin consciousness. That was sin consciousness. Oh, Lord, he's dead. I mean, he's decaying. You can't do nothing now. But a righteousness consciousness can come boldly to the throne of grace, obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need without a sense of not belonging, a sense of, oh, no, 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 no. Which is the most powerful? Standing in office or sitting in office? Do you know? The most powerful is to sit in authority. One that stands in an office has someone else in higher authority. The king never let anybody sit down in his presence because he's the king. Now, we, every born-again believer has been raised up together with him and made to lay on the floor at his feet. No, 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 no. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with humbling yourself and just falling on your face in the floor and say, oh, God, help me. I humble myself before it. No. But it's not because you're unworthy. I'm going to get up here in your face now. It's not because you're unworthy. His blood made you worthy. His blood brought you into the family. You have been made the righteousness of God. And we've been made to sit with Him in heavenly places. Now you can shout. Hallelujah. That put the joy in you. Glory to God. He's made us kings and priests. In Him. Always in Him. I'm not righteous. I've been made the righteousness of God in Him. Now I'm righteous. Amen. I can come to Him boldly. Even with sin in my life, I can come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I repent, sir. I repent and I confess this before You. And you said in Your Word, Your Apostle John said in 1 John 1:9, Lord, He said that You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin when I confess them and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Say it. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now you get cleansed from all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. Whoa, glory be to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And I did it again. I done preached me happy again. Doesn't that shoot a thrill through you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this is one reason that this needs to be preached and taught in a church congregation. Right quickly here in this last couple of minutes we have, move over there one book and let's go to the book of James. And let's look in the 5th chapter. Verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye for one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. The Amplified Translation says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or righteous person makes power, much power available, dynamic in its working. The word dynamic is the same word translated, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Dunamis, power, miracle, power, available. See, that churches need to know this. We gather together as the righteous, and we lay hands on the sick. Glory to God. Come in there and start praying in the Spirit, and don't quit till they heal. I don't care if it takes a week. You ain't got time to eat. Get in there and get them healed. Hallelujah. Whoa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what old-time Pentecost used to call praying through. They'd just lock in with God in these situations and just pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't care how long it took. They'd just pray, just keep praying and just keep praying until they broke through in the Spirit. Well, now that we know and come to a place where we know the Word and we know how to live and walk by faith, now we take a higher level of receiving that power into that person's presence, and we just don't quit. We don't have any little rinky-dink God help you prayers. We just get in there and make that healing power available and don't let go in the name of Jesus and reign over that disease as kings and priests of Jesus. Amen.
Faith, how does it work?
How do I get more of it?
What does faith look like or sound like?
Am I using my faith correctly?
How can I get it to work for me?
Join Kenneth Copeland as he sets the foundation for what faith is, how to move a mountain. 15 messages available on MP3 disc, DVD, or for download. Get the truth about faith. Learn what it is and what it's not. Nearly 50 years of faith teaching collected in one place. Simplified and accessible. Identify your faith. Develop it. Find out how it works and put it to work in your life the way God set it up to operate. Whether you feel like you're well-versed in faith and how it works, or you've just been introduced to the concept, this Back to the Basics teaching will refocus your understanding and set you on the right track to moving the mountains in your life.
Request your free copy of Faith Is, How to Move a Mountain, 15 power-packed messages on faith by Kenneth Copeland. Learn the foundational truths about the spirit of faith and how you can develop it to move the mountains in your life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
There is no faith until you find out what God's will is for your life. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And God's will for you and for me and for all of us, for all men, is to be born again. Now, I am, and I know many people watching this are, but there may be some today that have never made Jesus the Lord of your life. And the will of God for you, you've been asking, God, what am I here for? Why am I on this earth? Well, it begins with being born again. You'll never know anything beyond that until you experience that. If you've never been born again, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, it's so simple. Just pray this with me. Just say it right out loud. Father in heaven, I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose again for me. Jesus, be the Lord of my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, I know it's a simple prayer, but you're born again. The Bible says if you believe it and you say it, you're saved. You're born again. And you need to know that all of heaven rejoices with you and all of Kenneth Copeland Ministries rejoices with you. And we want to know about it. If you prayed that prayer with me for the first time in your life and you're born again, please contact this ministry. Let us know and let somebody just shout with you on the other end of that phone. And what they're going to do is they're going to send you this book. It's a free book by my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's called He Did It All For You. You need to find out what Jesus did for you. It will change your life. And along with that, they're going to send you a couple of brochures that's just going to help you find out how to study your Bible. Hey, it's a big book. You might need some help getting started in it. And that's what this is all about. We want to praise God with you. You're born again. Your life will never be the same. So if you want this and we want you to have it, it's free. Just write to us, call us, get online, do whatever it takes to get in touch with us. Let us send it to you. We love you so much. Thank you, everybody, for watching the broadcast today. If you missed anything in the broadcast leading up to this, don't forget you go to kcm.org, watch or download free. Everything there is available to you to teach you the Word of God, strengthen you, and encourage you.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BBOV broadcast study notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes.
On a clear night nearly 47 years ago, Kenneth Copeland was flying home from a meeting when he first heard a phrase that would significantly impact both his life and ministry. Coming to you from the revival capital of the world. As these words rang out from his spirit, he thought to himself, there's an entertainment capital in Hollywood and a political capital in Washington, D.C. But where's the revival capital of the world? At that moment, he was left with more questions than answers. Kenneth Copeland Ministries was experiencing tremendous growth. The ministry would move three times over the next 3.5 years. In 1973, Brother Copeland heard about a choice piece of property that was up for sale, and he quickly went to investigate. The sprawling land God had directed Brother Copeland to visit was a former military base once known as Eagle Mountain Air Station. Constructed to test gliders during the early part of World War II, the base had become home to over 2,000 pilots and soldiers during the peak of the war years. As Kenneth stepped onto the property, the Spirit of the Lord said, "This is the revival capital of the world, and you are going to build it." After various confirmations from the Lord and miraculous favor with the current owner, the property was purchased and construction began in 1979. What was a training ground for soldiers was now destined to become a place of spiritual training, a new base of operations that would deliver the Word of God. Thank you, partners, for standing with us for 50 years of sending the word out. We're on this journey together to become the revival capital of the world. We will see the vision fulfilled as we continue to be used for the production of God's uncompromising word in every form that the heart can imagine.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory is Offering Day. And if you've been around this broadcast long enough, you know that. You know that this is something that the Lord instructed my grandfather in years ago. We come right here to Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 6 it says, "Let him who is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things." This is communication. Offering is communication. And you've heard me say it before, that our whole lives are a conversation between grace and faith. God speaking to you in his grace, you speaking to him in faith. This ongoing conversation. Well, he says here that you can communicate to him that taught you. So the teacher started the conversation and now you can communicate back to it. And he goes on to say, "Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And when you're given an opportunity to invest into the kingdom of God and to put the kingdom first, you are sowing to the Spirit. And when you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. You reap life in your finances. You reap life in your family. You reap life in all these areas of your life. So that's what this opportunity is about. But you will never hear anybody on this broadcast put pressure on you for one thing. All it is opportunity. It's opportunity to invest. It's opportunity to hear from the Lord. And if he's got an assignment for you financially in this ministry, now's your time. Act on it. And if he doesn't, you find out where he does want you, because everybody needs to partner with somebody who's preaching Jesus somewhere. And we want to say thank you to our partners for your love, for your support, your faithfulness. God has used you. He has used your faithfulness. And together with my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, you have preached the word all over the world, and you still are. That's what you're sowing into. You are sowing into 50 plus years of preaching Jesus. Thank God for it. Hey, listen, we bless you. We bless your seed, your offering. We believe that God is causing you to increase more and more, you and your children. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.